Equation for poetry. Subtract eyelash from feather, then add crescent moon. Divide by lightning plus seagull and wood smoke plus October. Don't add eternity, vow, or lake, or the moon's pale reflection as silk path from water to sky. Carp are not the square root of anything. Xed must equal a real place. If your answer is irrational, start over. Subtract sunrise from rooftop, divide by maple leaf unfurling. Take away dawn. Add wire fence times dirt and soldiers minus rain. Multiply by ruby-throated hummingbird to the power of 10. Then add black cat with white paws and muzzle. Subtract click of locks releasing. Add brass key.
Kathy McGookie just read for us Equation for Poetry, one of her poems in her chapbook called Mending. Kathy, what is poetry to you? It's such a personal thing, and it's different for every poet. What is poetry to you?
When people ask me that question, what I often say is it's a way to pay attention, and really very close attention, sometimes to the smallest thing, to the smallest moment. And sometimes for me, too, it's a way of saving a small moment, a place to keep things. Yeah, yeah. Then it never gets lost, as long as you don't lose the poem.
Now, you've written prose as well, yes, but do you consider yourself more of a poet than a prose writer?
Yeah, actually, I write prose poems, which are poems without line breaks, and so that's what I consider myself.
Kind of a blend of the two. Yeah. Is there a reason that you choose that, or you've just found that that's your comfort zone?
It was through a process. When I was trying to stay writing, I found myself getting up early in the morning and writing 3 pages as fast as I could. And it was just filling 3 notebook pages. And then when I would transfer that and try to turn that into poems, I just kept the same form. So I did that maybe 20 years ago and just stayed with it.
So you're widely published. This Mended is your newest chapbook,
yes.
But you've got other books out there as well. Tell us a little bit more about your publishing history and some of your other books that are available.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, my first book is called Whatever Shines, and that is through White Pine Press, and that came out quite a while ago now, in 2001. And I also published a chapbook called October Again in 2012, and that's by Burnside Review Press. I also did a book of translations of a French poet, Georges Godeau, and that came also out in 2012, and that's through Parlor Press. And then I also have Mended, which just came out last fall, 2014.
So I read somewhere that you dedicated yourself to writing while a student, and you were on study abroad in Paris. So tell us how that moment came that you somehow realized that you had a calling.
Yeah. What I really felt was, even though I was pretty fluent in French, I couldn't say everything I wanted to say. I still felt, at some level, unable to completely express myself. And so I found myself, when I was writing in my journal in English, just really loving that ability to be as articulate as I could. And I remember having the experience of standing in a bookstore, I think it was at Shakespeare and Company, and reading a book in English and just feeling so connected to the author that I wanted to recreate that experience with a reader. I hoped that would find me.
That's interesting that sometimes we have to get away from home, in this case, home of language, to really appreciate it. So it was going to a different language and a different culture that moved you to be a writer. You've also done work, as you said, in French. What's that like, expressing yourself in a language, translations as well, that aren't native to you? What's that cultural shift like?
Oh, I found it really hard. I found it expressing myself in French. I felt like I was always going to be making a mistake that I might not know about. And it's funny, translating from French to English, I mean, I had that same fear that I would be making a mistake. And I did make plenty of mistakes, but I had people check me. And I finally got to the point where, with the translations I did, that I said, okay, if I make a small mistake or even a big one, I think it's worth the price of introducing this writer to readers who would not have read him otherwise. It was the first time his work was translated into English. So I kind of made that deal with myself. You know, I can be human.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But
yeah,
also,
that's what editors are for.
You hope, but you know.
Now, you've given a multitude of readings over the years at universities, colleges, and conferences. And I think you've also written a poem for your mail carrier. And
yes.
I think read a poetry in one of your children's school classroom.
Yes.
That experience of connection between writer and reader and the public, how does that differ with the different audiences? I mean, from that child's classroom to maybe in a conference or a university?
I think the level of enthusiasm is different, and maybe the immediate response is different, definitely with like a class of first graders.
So they were enthused?
They were very enthused. I read a poem called Sweater Weather by Sharon Bryan, which is just this playful, it's a love song to the language, and they just loved it. And they had me read it several times, in fact, and each time just burst out laughing at the different phrases. So that's a very responsive audience. Not to say adult audiences don't respond in different ways, but I've enjoyed actually going into the classrooms with kids quite a lot. I also like to visit classrooms and do like a Q&A and interact with students that way. I really enjoy being able to talk about writerly concerns or whatever's on their mind and, you know, show that I'm really just a person. I don't know if they think I'm not, if they first see a poem of mine, but everyone's human.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear that because we seem to lose our connection with poetry as we get on in class, in levels in school. We seem to develop almost a fear and intimidation of poetry, that it's too complex. Oh, I don't get it. And yet you're describing first graders who just love it. What happens, do you think? And how could we change that?
Oh, I don't know. That's a really big question. Part of it is, there are times when people are asked to explicate poems and, you know, search out the meanings and describe them. And that creates some of that hesitation, I think. But the thing
that we overanalyze, maybe?
Possibly. I don't know exactly what happens. But one thing I like about prose poems is they don't look like a poem, and so people can approach them, I think, more in an uninhibited way and enjoy it before they realize maybe they should be looking out for something. So that's one thing that drew me to the prose poem and that I enjoyed.
It's more like a miniature story.
It is, and it's not intimidating when you look at it.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's like a paragraph. It could be in the newspaper. It could be in a magazine. It could be in a book. So people don't have that same hesitation, I think.
And I would imagine those first graders feel like they can write a poem, whereas when we older, people might think, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah, because a first grader, it would never occur to them that they couldn't, really. You know, the teacher comes in and says, okay, we're going to do this, you know, whatever it is, poetry, math, science, and the kids go, okay, I'll give it a shot. And they have that same, you know, they have that same approach to poetry.
So have you, after all these years of writing and publishing, have you gotten that magic moment of connection that you first longed for in Paris?
You know what? I have heard from a few people who've read my work, who've gotten in touch with me. So I think I have. Maybe twice, where a reader will contact me and say that they've read my work, and it's just indescribable.
Oh, yeah. That's why we do it. So Mended, this chapbook, tell us about the journey of putting it together. There's a lot of poetry in there that deals with grief and sorrow.
Yes.
So tell us about the book.
Yes. Well, something to know about me. My parents died within 2 weeks of each other about 13, 14 years ago. And when they died, I had my infant son was 10 months old. So in the space of about a year, I had as many changes as you can imagine. And so the poems that I wrote since then, for a long time, all grew out of those dual experiences of having an infant, of losing my parents. And so that's where the poems Grief and Sorrow come from. luckily, happily, you know, I'm not writing quite the same sorrowful poems anymore. Time has passed, and I can write on other things now. But when I was putting together this book, I actually had two full-length manuscripts I'd been sending out without any luck. And I thought, okay, well, if these never get taken, I'm going to try to boil them down and take the most essential poems from each one and put it in a chapbook and see if I can have something happen with that. And so that's what I did. That's where the two sections came from. And it's really the essence of those two manuscripts that were circulating with no home. And that's how Mended came to be.
Now, many writers will talk about writing as therapy. Did it work that way for you, putting this collection together, help you cope with the grief and the loss?
You know, I came across a quote by Marvin Bell the other day. Someone sent it to me, and he said, art is a survival skill. And it really made sense to me because art was the way I survived that. And it was the way that I survived and kept my relationships intact. You know, when you grieve, you go through so many emotions, and one of them is anger, and, you know, whoever's nearby you sometimes gets the brunt of that. And I was grateful that I had poetry to help me survive that experience.
So if you could read another selection for us from Mended.
Sure. This is the title poem, Mended. A psychic told me guardian angels want to help, but have to be asked. She talked to hers before buying used cars at auction. So now I try to remember to ask, to make my request clear. Guardian angel, please help get my poems published. Please help me be happy and worry less. But a moment to speak uninterrupted is rare. I've got a great babysitter, two kids, and many broken plastic toys. What if I ask for the wrong thing? Once I thought my purse was stolen, but it was only lost. Once I told my mother she could recognize me by the two small freckles at the base of my neck. Today, my life seems mended, but I may disappear into it. Reader, talking to you is better than talking to my guardian angel. All I've asked is to finish writing this poem.
Beautiful. And what are you working on now? What's coming down the road for you?
I'm still writing prose poems. I have a book forthcoming from Press 53 this fall. So I'm working on the final edits and ordering of that. And that's pretty much it.
You'll have to come back when the Press 53 comes out.
I would love to.
Yeah, great publisher.
Thank you.